Welcome back to On the Record. I'm Sheila Cast. We're talking today about interpreting and translating languages. Let's turn to a new effort at the Johns Hopkins Center for Language and Speech Processing. This fall, the center received an $11 million federal grant from the Office of the Director of National Intelligence to create technology for language translation. Competing teams from across the country have 4 years to do this research. The aim is to reduce the time and amount of information needed to put a translation system into use for intelligence agents. While Twitter, Facebook, Google, other sites offer translation when you surf the net, they only translate into English the 100 most commonly spoken languages. Philip Kuhn, professor of computer science, is leading the Johns Hopkins research group. He's been working in machine translation for more than 20 years. Philip Kuhn, welcome to On the Record.
Thank you for having me.
What languages are the target of this project?
So the goal here is to kind of expand over the kind of, as you said, 100 most frequent languages that are already there commercial services for. What languages exactly we're going to work on is always going to be a surprise. So the goal is to tell us that, and then we have to build a system within a month or two. So they gave us now two languages to practice. One is Tagalog, which is spoken in the Philippines, and the other one is Swahili, which is spoken in East Africa.
So you get these like sort of surprise assignments and you've got 2 months to deliver some kind of a translation system.
Exactly, yeah. So it's not just a translation system, it's also speech recognition and then information extraction. So the goal is at the end of a system where you can put in a query and you get all the documents back from that are written or spoken in that language with some English summary.
These are known as low resource languages. What does that mean?
This is our current technical term for basically any language where we don't have much data. So the way we build these systems is we collect a lot of translated text or transcribed speech and then build computational systems off that data. So they all automatically learn it from the data. And of course, that doesn't work so well if you don't have much data. So these are all languages where we don't have as much data as we have, for instance, for French or Chinese.
Okay, let me make sure I understand. When you're talking about data, you mean written versions of this language, written translations?
So it depends on what the task is. So if it's speech recognition, we need to have the spoken audio and a transcribed version of that in text. For machine translation, we need to have basically a line sentence by sentence in that foreign language paired with a sentence in English. And then our algorithms learn automatically how to extract relevant information to build speech recognition systems or machine translation systems.
And this translation technology is used how?
Today, we see machine translation, for instance, in Google Translate as a prominent application. Another one that is actually I found very useful is in Facebook. If you have friends who post something in foreign languages, you press a button and you get a translation. So yeah, there are various applications for all these technologies. So in this particular program, the goal was, can you build a system where, as I just described earlier, you basically have a Google-like interface where you type in a query, get relevant documents back with the twist that all the documents are in the foreign language, but the user only speaks English.
Give me an example of the kind of query that you could type in.
So since we're working on languages like Swahili right now, what might be usefulification there is someone wants to find out, is there any solar energy in Swahili, and types in solar energy, searches now the documents that I've written in that language, and then returns the relevant documents that have information about that.
That is Philip Kuhn, computer science professor at Johns Hopkins University, here on The Record on WYPR. He is leading a team of professors, research scientists, doctoral students, and postdoc fellows who are working to create language translation technology. Tell me again, how much data do you need to crack a language, to be able to make a language accessible?
So for the really big languages like French and English, Spanish, German, Chinese, we do have like tens of millions, hundreds of millions, sometimes even billions of words of translated text.
But that's not what you're working on.
What we're working on here, they give us a little bit less than a million words of translated text. So that is about 3 or 4 or 5 books, I guess. That's kind of the volume it is.
And that's enough? I mean, that compensates?
Well, so that covers the most basic words of the language pretty well, but it then really lacks of having kind of content words, nouns that are less usual, they don't occur in these million words, so you have to do other things to then figure out how to translate them. Language has this distribution of words. There's some words that are super frequent, like of and the and by and common nouns like thing and name. And then there's like this long tail of really rare words. So in that long tail, if you don't have enough data, you're missing out on the entire long tail of rarer words.
So you could still get the really most basic kinds of translation done.
Yeah, to give you some numbers, so if you now come across a test sentence or a new sentence you want to translate that is different from your training data, then usually about 5 to 10% of the words have not been previously seen.
And so what does your translation tool do?
Yeah, that's the big challenge, basically. One trick is to look at morphology.
Morphology being the shape.
Plurals being different. So maybe you have seen the word car, but you haven't seen the word cars. So the word cars is unknown, but you can bring it back to car. Another focus is that you can find maybe these words not in the translated text that are given to you, but in other larger volumes of just monolingual text in that language. So you know in which context that word occurs, so you can figure out what meaning of the word is based on the context it is being used.
So I confess I don't have a deep understanding of the word algorithm. I mean, an algorithm is essentially rules for how the language works?
Algorithm is just any kind of procedure you follow. A lot of the algorithms we use for this field is machine learning algorithms that are fairly general, that can work on anything, and we just have to focus on how to prepare the data in a way that fits these kind of general frameworks of machine learning.
Can't you just hire people who know the language, native speakers? Couldn't they help develop
these
rules?
Would definitely. Well, we're not looking for rules that can be written down. So what can we expect from a native speaker that would be helpful was probably building bigger dictionaries or translate some example text. But we don't actually try to extract rules that are humanly readable, like move the verb three positions to the left or anything like this. What we have in our models is rather abstract. That's not something that a human can write down by hand.
I think many of us have the experience using Google Translate or some translation on the web. The core information comes across, but in very awkward wording. Is that something that you need to worry about
project? Ambiguity is basically the biggest problem of natural language. A language is ambiguous on all levels. So it starts with words like bank that could mean the riverbank or the financial institution, or the other words like interest, which means something completely different, and interest rate than in like the sense of curiosity. And that shows up in translation that these words have multiple meanings and therefore different translations. And you have to pick the right one. So you have to kind of discover from the context what the right meaning of the word is. Language is also ambiguous in syntactic structure. So if I eat a steak with a knife or eat a steak with ketchup, there's a difference between, you know, the knife being an instrument and the ketchup is something that actually also I'm eating. It's part of the food. So that is the biggest problem. For humans, it's always relatively easy to use language and resolve all these ambiguities because we have all world knowledge at hand. But for a computer, all these things are the biggest problem. How to kind of find out what the right translation is and what the meaning of the sentence really is.
I'm still hung up on the idea that you get these assignments and have 2 months to deliver something that's usable. How are you tested? Do you test yourselves? Or do the people overseeing your grant say, this isn't good enough? We don't really understand what this other language is saying right now.
Yeah, so there's a long tradition in these fields that we have fairly clear evaluation protocols on how to measure this. For all these methods, you can then put the tool in practice and ask people about feedback. In machine translation, you could ask them, is this a good translation or not, and rate the translations. Sometimes you have automatic methods where we just say, how similar is this translation to a human translation? If it's more similar, it's probably better than one that is not very similar. For this grant, there's a whole other agency involved that does the testing. And since this is kind of set up as I'm typing in a query in English, I'm getting relevant documents back with a summary, we get basically evaluated just on this end task. Did we find the relevant documents, and how many of them did we find? And is the summary informative enough for a user to then figure out, is that a document I actually really care about?
So this is a 4-year grant, so you're going to approach how many languages?
So it's broken up into 3 phases. And at each phase, there are going to be 2 languages, and it's always going to be two new languages. But the idea is really to build technology that is generally applicable for any language. So we actually, when we build machine translation systems for a dozen different languages, or when Google Translate builds their machine translation system for 100 different languages, they don't really do much special things for any particular language. They just use the generic tool, throw at it any kind of language pair.
Well, good luck with this. Very interesting. Thank you for telling us about it.
Okay, thank you very much.
Philip Kuhn is a professor of computer science at Johns Hopkins University. He's leading a team of researchers funded by a federal grant to create translation technology for low-resource languages. This is On the Record. I'm Sheila Cass. Thanks for listening. Hope you'll join us again tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to this segment of On the Record with Sheila Cast. You can catch the show on the radio Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 10 a.m. on 88.1 WYPR, your NPR news station. And you can support On the Record and all the other public radio programs that WYPR brings to you. Just click the donate link at the top of WYPR.org. And thanks.